We think it's relevant to have there a round of discussion. So let's open a 15 minutes discussion round. Sarah will moderate it.
Okay. So just to remind you, I mean, Jeff has been very good at reminding us, but I'll remind you again what the challenges are that Annette put to us. The first one was the metadata schemas, the fact that we have old schemas and new schemas and that things develop and move on, and how do we deal with that? The second one was the business of metadata coming in and out of systems. And just to remind you, that occurs both at the agency level, it occurs at the multi-agency level and at a global level with licensing as well. What is needed, in fact, to interoperate for image licensing? And the third one is the fact that we work in a global business. Rights are dynamic, they change, and they may even change by client. So how do we make that work? Now, we've heard Alfonso talking about identifiers, and I think what you're asking for, is a global one unique identifier for one picture, if I'm right in understanding what you were saying.
This would be the ideal.
Okay? Yes, that would be the ideal because you'd sort out.
Yeah, this would be the ideal. However, the complications, because it's not going to be easy, as we discussed in London, it's not going to be easy to control that one photographer takes one image and places it in 10 different agencies.
Yeah, exactly.
And every single agent will apply a number. So who is going to put the number? The agencies or the photographer? The ideal is the photographer will put the name and everybody will use exactly the same name.
Okay. So now I'm going to throw it open to the floor to ask questions, and particularly to our speakers, on these challenges and anything else that you might think of coming out of what we've been discussing today. Any questions? Linda.
Linda.
Hello. I'm Linda. I was just kind of curious about, I know some people here from the picture industry. I was just curious about the audience, because I think initially I was really frightened that I wouldn't really understand a word of what was going to be said today. And I was kind of very pleasantly surprised that I understood almost all of it. So I'm just, in terms of the IPTC Congress, you've been talking for 4 days now. Is that right? Or 3 days? And so is it mostly sort of like metadata people from other media groups? And then on this one, it's just getting a sense about IPTC as an organisation, if that's okay. And I'm fascinated. And also my hand is on my heart when I know that somebody has been talking about this subject for this number of days. So well done, whoever you are in this room, to hold that mantle. So brilliant. So I just wanted to get asked about that, if I may.
Well, what I think what could be of interest and relevance is IPTC has a strong focus on controlled things. So controlled terms in terms of controlled vocabularies. I think this was quite well pictured out this morning also by Solveig for NTP. So I think this is an essential step to having controlled terms. That means identified terms and not only strings, because this solves a lot of multilingual issues. And yesterday at the same time we had a big afternoon topical session about rights. And may I introduce Stuart? You are the IPTC chair, and Stuart Miles of Associated Press, and he's also the lead of our rights expressions activities at IPTC. And we are discussing exactly this, how to have a flexible rights expression language, which covers all types of media, so not focused, of course, on any photos or text or something like that. And also the issue of this is highly based also on identifiers. So this is nothing about described. And only a short comment from my side is I think there are a couple of options for identifiers, but it would be good if there is a wide and shared decision, because it could be the problem that, so you call something like a globally unique identifier, but is it really reliable? So let's say there are some technical solutions available for that, but the big issue, I think, in the background is the business solution. Is it reliable? Is it persistent over time? So let's think about photos which will be managed in 20 years. So are identifier organizations still existent this time? So I think this has to be taken into account. But yeah, we are also pondering about that. Linda, I hope this fits your expectations.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask, I think, a question of some of the panel, sort of panel members, the speakers here today, because it seems to me that a lot of you are working in a very similar direction and are connecting together. And I'd like to ask each of you what you think the challenges are from the position we're in now, where we have the plus, we have plus, we have the copyright hub, we've got the copyright situation, and we've got RDI. So if I can start with you, Dominic, what do you think is going to be the driving force to getting us to a position where we have automated systems to realise the kind of vision that I think you're all talking about?
Well, I think we're doing the first part of that. We're already doing it. We're doing the right thing, which is we're all talking to each other. We're sharing our work. We are absolutely avoiding replicating things amongst ourselves. And it feels very sort of elegantly joined up. And let's not forget that the work we're all doing, or at least most of us are doing, extends well beyond images. Images is just a piece of the jigsaw. And you come to a conference like this and you realise how incredibly complex it is in the images space, and multiply that by orders of magnitude to take into account all the other complexity in all the other sectors. Massively complicated. I personally think we can learn a lesson from the internet. The internet has evolved an immense amount of complexity, not because it was sort of designed, but because it evolved. A few relatively simple capabilities produced this great thicket of complexity, which functions despite that. That's actually what copyright did too. Copyright law originally was a pretty simple thing, and it became this very complex world in which things happen differently for images as they do for music and TV and everything else. And the mistake we would be making would be to try to design the future to replicate the kind of the status quo of the past. We need to build an infrastructure which is capable of developing similar but not identical complexity, because that's the way it evolves. And I think we're doing the right thing for that. We're all sort of sowing the seeds. The foundations for that are being built now. The way that gets implemented and taken forward has to be by everybody. And one of the barriers is if everybody has to conform to a single way of working, inevitably it'll be much harder to make progress, because there'll be reasons why people can't or won't do that, or it's different in different sectors. So I personally feel very encouraged that, to the extent we can feel confident, we do appear to be kind of pushing in the same direction, an awful lot of people, and there seems to be an increasingly common shared vision about how this can progress. And I feel like it can, not by solving everything all at once, but by just solving the next problem in line and doing it sort of massively in parallel across the whole of each sector and across the industry generally. It's everyone's problem, and actually everyone can own the solution and benefit from it, and that's the right way to do it.
Okay, thank you. Jeff, what's your take on the big challenge? Now, you've been, you know, Plus has been going for a long time. What do you think is going to drive things forward now?
I think that what's driving it forward is finally the value proposition to all sides is on the table. You have dwindling margins in the licensing industries. You have clients who also have dwindling margins and limited resources, and it has to cost them the actual, not the cost of the license of the image, but the transactional barriers are really quite difficult. So, in answer to your question about collaboration, there's extremely close collaboration between us, for example, and the Copyright Hub. There have been meetings between us and their developers and their administrative team going back. We're also using the same consultants, et cetera. But, you know, going back to, you know, the kernel of the idea to begin with, plus what we did was put out the message to all the picture libraries, send us your matrices, you know, so like for example, to build the matrix, it's an open door, and we got 32 or 34 matrices from Getty, from Corbett, from Masterfile, from Alamy, from all over the UK. Everybody submitted their matrices without the prices, of course. And we did a massive merge purge of that. Then we had almost 2,000 volunteers from the picture library industry and other industries come in and collaborate for a year to build our glossary, et cetera. So that kind of collaboration is what's necessary, having the actual stakeholders participating in the process and looking at things like the very real problems that Alfonso brought up, like the constraints on a license and how that can interrupt an automated transaction and how you deal with it. You know, and over the course of time, we had to go out to people who are scholars in that sort of thing, and we find, okay, well, if you need to have a restriction, you just do the reverse of a license. It's a negative rights statement. You build that into your platform so that it doesn't allow people to license, even if it's only in Slovakia, that it can't be used only on a spoon. You can actually program that in there in reverse as a constraint so that it won't allow people to license it.
Thank you. Can I ask you, Mary, from your position?
Thank you. I agree with both the gentlemen. I think the way that our market is today is going to look very different in 2 years' time. You know, we're going to be, the technology is evolving so fast, and the way that we traditionally sell our content, not just in images, but as Dominic has said, in the broadcast market, publishing and music, is actually going to be very, very different. I think our traditional way of licensing, people are now starting to take note that we need to make some changes in that. With regards to the prices are actually falling, as everybody has actually said, so we need to actually come up with new inventive ways of doing that. So if technology allows us to do that through an automated system and an automated way, an easy solution, then we should actually capitalise on that to actually sort of move everything forward. And I think collaboration absolutely is definitely the way to go. We're actually talking to the Copyright Hub too and to various other partners, and I think actually having not to reinvent, as Dominic said, the wheel over and over again, and to actually work together is the way forward. So, but my personal feeling, and I think from my Mocha team, is the fact that, you know, it's moving so fast. If we don't keep up with it and be prepared for it, then you know, we don't want people to be left behind. It's going to be a very different market in a few years' time.
Thank you. Now, Alfonso, just one. I mean, we've heard from you. You know, you've presented quite a lot of really good questions for us. If you can just briefly round up what you think the big challenge is, and then I'll just ask. Just.
Is how we can make transactions easy and fast and secure. Because it's being said here that business is going to change, and I don't think. I don't think we are focusing exactly the same problem, okay? I think we are trying to equalize everything that is happening in the market. And the market is diverse and different, okay? It's certainly that certain business models are more efficient and they are gaining a lot of ground because clients, they want easy things, okay? But there are other clients that want complex things. There are clients that when they want to invest money in one single image, you know, they have been sure that an image is fully guaranteed, okay? And we companies have to have these indemnification clauses and insurance things because we are not sure of what's going on in the market. So in my opinion, I think that some of the questions that I have planted here, you know, are still valid and worth to discuss, because I understand the future is running fast and we have to run as much as possible and we have to adapt, et cetera, et cetera. But it's very difficult to adapt the structures of the photo agencies in order to align to new models. This is why the easiest thing that is happening is everybody buys the subscriptions and pay, you know, and buy images at 20 cents a picture. But it's not that clear. It's not that simple. There is still a bottom line of the business in which I believe, okay? And the images have to have a much more guarantees, okay, that what we are doing is correct, okay? And this is my point. And I appreciate what Jeff is saying regarding that we can do the opposite thing, okay? So this image is not available, or this image you cannot buy for this kind of thing. But when I think that a person like me that deals with clients in an extensive way, it's frustrating for a client because they are getting accustomed to buy a subscription and download as many images as they want, okay? So in my case, I'm finishing, yes, in my case is that clients don't like this, always all these easy things, okay? So we try to avoid the frustration, not showing the images that we don't have, that have limitations. That reduces the amount of images that we have available.
Thank you very much, Alfonso. And finally, just can I ask Annette whether you have any more, I mean, you've set us a very big, very good set of challenges. What do you think has come out of the presentations today, or have you got any sort of big open questions?
Yes. I agree with a lot of what a lot of people have said. What I observe is that people will do what works for them, and they will take the easiest path to ground. And I don't think that's bad. I think that some people call that crowdsourcing or, you know, open development. And people need to be invested in what they use. People will only use what they're invested in. And if they've created it, you have a stronger chance of it happening. I think the danger that comes there is that we individually create things that don't let us come back together in the places where we need to come back together. So that's why I think the collaboration, the checkpoints, we need to make sure that we keep checking in with each other to make sure that we're still, you know, the same species here. Yep. as we go. And that's why I think conferences like this are really great times to check in, meet new people, find out what's going on all around, and say, you know, we're working on something similar, we're thinking about going this way, how have you solved the problem? I think that this is exactly the kind of collaboration, is let the work happen independently, because Michael, you know, bless you, but people don't follow standard guidelines. People don't follow the rules. People are going to do what they need to do today to get the job done that is in front of them. And people come up with great ways to do that, but we just need to make sure that we stay on the same page with that.
Okay. Dominic's got another comment.
Sorry, I just wanted to do... well, Alfonso is raising a couple of points that I won't go into in depth, but actually seems to me... Well, they're both things that we have been thinking about in other sort of aspects of our thinking at the Copper Hour. One is about trust. How do I know that the person who sold me this thing it was theirs to sell, and that I can do something about it if there's a problem? So question number one, how do you create trust in a marketplace? That's a question that we're giving some thought to, and anyone who wants to get involved in that should most certainly be in touch. Second question is, once trust does exist, you can start to think about other answers to the question about things like, for example, how do I collect small payments efficiently? Because you can start to think about options that exist in other parts of the market, like get someone else to do it. Does Heinz collect 40p every time you buy some baked beans? No. Do they get paid because it goes through a value chain? You know, they wholesale their beans to Tesco, Tesco sells them. There might be someone else who can actually act as the retailer and do that process for you. And that might turn out to be, in a trusted environment, a much better route to market for certain kinds of things. So if we can solve the trust problem and we can join the data up, all sorts of new options might start to emerge, and that might help accelerate evolution too.
Power, we are...
Okay. Oops. Getting out of the way. Well, Dave wants to have the final comment.
Thanks, Michael. I just wanted to add the L word, legacy. There's some great ideas in the room and speaking with Annette this morning. it's more than trust. I think certainly within Reuters, where I work, and I've got to be very careful here because I work in the IPTC, so I define the dog food, and we also have to eat the dog food. And I recommend the dog food, it's really good. We've been struggling internally for how we disambiguate identifiers. And I think the solution at the moment is analogous to where we were trying to define a single coding standard across all media, which is a great idea, which was never going to work for everybody. Everybody, as Annette said, has their own idea and ways of doing things. And it's also modified by the reality of time and resource and changing. So it's taken us a number of years to change our editorial system, which is called System 77, from 1977. So moving to a point where we move away from, let's say, our own image identifiers to an externally hosted one, A, there's the trust, will it be around, can we access it, timeliness, all the rest of it, to the reality of we just can't do it overnight, so there's probably going to be something else we do first. So for us, it's more about asserting equivalence between identifiers. So if you look at the whole linked data space for coding, the IPTC has a coding system. That's great. We'd love to move to it, but we can't because we have a more granular system. So we map to it. We make that mapping available to other people. I think realistically what we could do within big corporations is say if there is an external capability for mapping identifiers or for images, for rights, for whatever, to at least be aware of that and where possible to map from our internal systems that we're bound to temporarily to those sort of public systems. So maybe that's an alternative approach or complementary approach to think about.
Thank you. Maybe my aside on that is regarding what you give as a presentation about the UNHCR situation where you said we're starting from scratch there. And I have to say many companies are not in this, I would say, happy position. And so I think it's not only what solution will work tomorrow. So Jeff, you said, okay, how rights are expressed in 5 years will be different and in 10 years will be different again. But what about in 10 years with rights expressions which have been laid down in 2015? Will this be still understood? Or is it with the famous tapes of the data from the last flights of the NASA to the moon, which exist, but nobody is able to read them anymore? Okay, so I think we not only have the challenge to cover the facts, but we also have to cover the evolutions of a timeline. And I guess we are in a very bad position for this conference today. We cannot deliver a final solution. So, but I think, at least to my feeling, it was a very dynamic discussion there from many views, many speakers around there. And I think this could also be a good input to all the parties who have been there around, who are involved in some way in rights expression and rights metadata management. I think this is quite essential to see what's going on, what are the problems, what are the challenges. This gives direction to taking next steps. And so I hope that all organizations which are represented here in the room can take out of these the presentations, out of this conference day, some input for their communication. And I think it would be good to also keep networked among, so that, as Annette pointed out, it would be good that everybody tries to solve things which are ahead of him or her, but also to look aside what others are doing, because I think, I said it a little bit jokingly, the end may be that we put things together and create a new standard for that. Andrew.